I want to welcome into our conversation right now from San Francisco General Michael Hayden, who's the former director of the National Security Agency, NSA, 1999 to 2005, of the CIA from 2006 to 2009, retired Air Force four-star general. He's author of the new book, Playing to the Edge, American Intelligence in the Age of Terror. He now works at the Chertoff Group, the private security consultancy. General Hayden, Michael Hayden, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for the chance to chat, Tom. Thank you.
We kind of thought that you, of all people, having headed the NSA and headed the CIA, might be standing shoulder to shoulder with James Comey at the FBI right now saying, open that phone. But I understand that you are not. Why not?
Well, first of all, Director Comey's got a very good point. And if I were sitting in Director Comey's chair looking through his lens, I might have his point of view. But I'm not, and I don't. And Kim laid this out very well, all the issues involved here. I mean, there are constitutional questions as to whether Apple can be compelled. There are privacy questions with regard to, you know, what the government can and can't see. Tom, I'm not arguing any of those points, which are very important points, but they're not mine today.
Okay.
Mine is a security question. And frankly, I think American security is better provided by not allowing the government to have exceptional or extraordinary access to otherwise unbreakable devices.
Why, in a nutshell? We've got to take a break. We'll explore it after the break. But in 30 seconds, why?
Yeah, I was a director of NSA. When somebody pushed a door or a window into a wall of otherwise unbreakable encryption, my odds of breaking in get real high.
I don't know your business well enough to understand what you mean by that, General.
Look, breaking through a wall of heavy encryption is very difficult, sometimes impossible. Mm-hmm. If you create a doorway, a pathway to allow the government to get through, that doorway and pathway will attract bad actors to try to get through there as well.
So you're saying leave it alone because if the FBI gets in there, bad actors will get in there as well, and overall U.S. security generically will be diminished?
That's exactly right.
General Hayden, there in San Francisco, you're saying that this is about unbreakable end-to-end encryption, and I guess you really mean unbreakable, that would not be broken for a warrant because it couldn't technically be, and you're saying that's good for the United States. As a law enforcement guy or a security guy yourself, why again?
Sure. Number one, imagine, if you will, Tom, unbreakable encryption as a wall. All right? When the government wants exceptional or extraordinary access, mm-hmm. what they're asking Apple and other companies to do is to create a door, a window, or something, or an access point. And, you know, just kind of yep. extending the metaphor, Tom, a door, even with really good locks, isn't a wall. It's a weak point that allows other people to try to exploit it. And again, back to my point, when I'm talking about American security, I actually think the stronger we can make that wall with regard to encryption, the better we will be, even if it prevents the government in cases, justifiable cases, with a warrant, perfectly under law, to do that because it creates the condition I just described. Tom, the last 3 years, Jim Clapper, who is our Director of National Intelligence,
yeah.
has in his worldwide threat briefing told Congress the single greatest threat to the United States now is the cyber threat. Why would you weaken your defenses against the cyber threat, even in the name of absolutely legitimate requirements over here with regard to fighting crime or fighting terrorism?
So do you see, Michael Hayden, do you see unbreakable end-to-end encryption coming, and you're saying this is just the future and law enforcement's going to have to figure out how to deal with it?
I actually think it will be much more difficult in the future for law enforcement to do some of the things they have done in the past. But Tom, let me step back from this timeline a little bit.
Okay.
What law enforcement's been able to do over the last 10 or 15 years may not be the norm. It may be the exception. The last 10 to 15 years is all of us have rushed into the cyber domain and put things we used to keep in a safe into our smartphones.
Yep.
That's created a tremendous electronic environment for law enforcement and, frankly, for intelligence.
Yeah.
But I can't claim that's the norm. I mean, because prior to that, law enforcement and intelligence didn't have that field to harvest. We may actually be returning to that pre, so to speak, gold rush days that we've had for the last 10 to 15 years, and both intelligence and law enforcement are going to have to go back to some of the old, more traditional approaches.
But does this mean that the cyber realm becomes a closed playground for criminals, for terrorists, and the FBI, the CIA, the NSA cannot get in there and see what's going on?
Well, actually, life is full of difficult trade-offs, and that's the underlying theme in the book that you mentioned that I've just written, Tom, that this is all an ocean of gray, and you're making very difficult choices. Now, look, you know, I've actually talked to Apple about this, and as you might expect, this is months ago now.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually surprised, like you, and pleased with my position. And then I said, yeah, guys, but before you start tearing the goalposts down here and celebrating, let me tell you what I would do as the director of NSA as soon as I hung up with you guys.
Okay.
I'd call Congress and the White House and say, now I'm going to need about $500 million more dollars because I want to be able to break that encryption, you know, the old-fashioned way. All right, through intelligence methods and sources. What I am worried about is that we build into the Apple and other devices a mechanism that makes that easier to do for everyone.
I mean, this is so interesting. I mean, it's kind of ironic because, I mean, essentially, as I understand it, you're the guy who built the metadata system that Edward Snowden laid out for the public later. You were very aggressive, as you say, in looking for technical solutions to these challenges. But you want to ratchet up the technical challenge, not down, by Apple opening this, what, so that only super advanced American technology has a chance in security service hands of getting in there?
Tom, think of it this way. In both instances, what I was interested in within law to provide the most security I could for the American people. And in this case, I actually think the answer to most security, the strongest security, is the unbreakable end-to-end encryption, even though it makes other things more difficult.
While you're here at Super Tuesday, after all, and I'm reading here you telling Bill Maher a day or two ago that if Donald Trump wins the presidency, and Donald, who has said that torture works and that he would use torture, he would do torture worse than waterboarding, much worse, much stronger, that the U.S. military might refuse that order and that that would be justified in your view.
Well, there are two things that the candidate said that I object to. One is I'd waterboard and a lot more because they deserve it. Now, look. I was head of CIA. We used enhanced interrogation techniques, but we didn't do it because they deserved it. We are not American justice. We are American intelligence. We did it not rearward-looking, but forward-looking. We needed to get information to protect Americans. And the other thing the candidate said was that he would put terrorist families at risk as part of his war-winning strategy against ISIS and like organizations. That's actually inconsistent with the laws of armed conflict and the ethic of the American Armed Forces, and I fully expect that the American Armed Forces would not perform that action.